Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, May 1st, 2011.
On Sunday mornings, we are studying the essential doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, we considered what the Bible teaches concerning receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of the miracle of speaking in an unknown tongue. This morning, we want to continue to consider the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and His ministry in this church age. It is of utmost importance. We're going to have a number of lessons along this line on the subject of the Holy Spirit, because without understanding and surrendering to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we cannot be what God wants us to be as His children. Not fully. If you are saved here this morning, you are saved because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That whole transaction of your salvation and your redemption was by the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if you're saved here this morning, you already know something about the Holy Spirit and His work. Even though you may not fully understand all that took place, nonetheless, you have benefited already from the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's so much more. There's more of Jesus to know. There's more of His purposes that you need to know as a child of God. And there's more of the power of the Holy Spirit than just getting saved. There is so much more to this infinite member of the Godhead. This morning, I want us to consider this one phrase that is used a number of times in the book of Acts, and that is being filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a term that is used in several different ways in the book of Acts, and it has different aspects to its meaning in different portions where it is used. And what I want us to consider this morning is that it is the will of God for every child of God to be filled with the Spirit in every aspect of the meaning of that term. As we study the different ways in which it's used, I'm not presenting these different aspects of being filled with the Spirit in order that you might pick and choose which one you like the best. Well, I want that one, and I want that one, I don't want that one. The purpose of the lesson is for us to understand that every aspect of being filled with the Holy Spirit is God's will for you as His child. And it should be your desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit in every sense of the word, in every sense of the term. So we need to consider the term and how it's used in different ways so that we can understand the work that God wants to do in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's begin in Acts chapter 2. As we look at these different passages, what you are going to discover is that sometimes the term being filled with the Holy Spirit is synonymous with what we looked at 2 weeks ago, synonymous with receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's proper to refer to that experience as being filled with the Holy Spirit. But we're also going to find out that sometimes it doesn't talk about that initial infilling. It's not talking about that initial experience. Sometimes it speaks of a special and a fresh blessing or an enabling to do the will of God. And we'll look at the context where it's used in that way. Sometimes it simply is referring to the overall character of your Christian walk, and it has to do with being led of the Spirit. It's synonymous with being led by the Spirit, and that's an ongoing, continuous thing, and Lord willing, next week that will be our next lesson. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? So let's look at some of these places, beginning in Acts chapter 2. In this passage, the phrase filled with the Spirit is synonymous with that initial experience of receiving the gift along with the miracle evidence of speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all, as individuals, filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So in this passage, clearly, the phrase, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, is referring to that initial receiving of the gift. Something that is for all of God's children. Something that each of us should ask our Father for, that we might receive. So it's proper for you to refer to that time if you've had that experience. I was 9 years old when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's proper to use that term. That was that experience that I had. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, we read of the Apostle Paul's experience. And the same phrase is used concerning that initial experience that he had with the Holy Spirit when he received the gift after salvation. Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now again, notice the order of this, or I'm not going to rehash last or 2 weeks ago talking about the gift, but notice again the order. The Apostle Paul, who at that time was Saul of Tarsus, known as Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus was saved. He met the Lord Jesus, the risen Christ, and he accepted him as Lord. He was saved. But it wasn't until Ananias came and prayed for him that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So clearly a separate experience from his salvation experience on the road to Damascus. But here, this phrase is synonymous with that initial infilling of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then after that, he was baptized in water. Now let's go to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, where this phrase is used with a different meaning. It's not a reference. In this fourth chapter, these that were gathered in this situation had already had that initial receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were already filled in that sense. But in Acts chapter 4, in verses 7 to 13, we read this term used for something else in the lives of these same believers. Acts chapter 4, verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Jesus' disciples are before the religious leaders, the Jews. They were preaching in Jesus' name the resurrected Christ. Miracles were taking place. People were being drawn to Jesus. And they said, who gives you the authority to preach like this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said this. Now in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. What a glorious statement. The world is impressed with education. Nothing wrong with education. And there's no glory in being uneducated. That's neither here nor there. But in doing the will of God, It's not about intelligence. It's not about education. It's not about pedigree. Doing the will of God is all about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Here in this passage, Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit simply means that he was fully surrendered to the Spirit's direction and enabling to say what needed to be said in the moment. He was anointed. Being filled with the Holy Spirit in this case doesn't mean that Peter started speaking in tongues. The miracle of tongues is not involved in this aspect of being filled with the Holy Spirit at all. It has to do with a very real situation where Peter was faced with some very real threats, and he had the opportunity to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And enabled to do that, he had to be fully yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit to direct him and to enable him what to say and how to say it. Saints, this is what it means. One of the aspects that you need to seek, it's not just a one-time experience. That is an essential first step. But if that's the only step you take, you don't know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is about everyday situations. Some uncomfortable situations, some difficult situations, things you don't know what to do and say. If you are filled with the Spirit, if you learn to yield to His direction and know He's there to enable you, you will know the power of God that comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's not always about all the things that people, especially the charismatics in church, talk about the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. This man stood up and said, "You crucified the Lord," to the people that crucified his Lord. And of course had the same authority to crucify Peter. And ultimately did. And Peter said, "You crucified the Lord, but my God raised him up." This is not a reference to the past experience on the day of Pentecost. This was a very present power that Peter needed in the moment. In our next lesson, we're going to consider this more in depth. So we'll go on to Acts 13 for now. Acts 13, 9 to 11. Here again, we see Paul in a situation that he needed to do and react in a proper way to bring about the glory of God. And it says in Acts 13 and verse 9, "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him." This was a sorcerer who was trying to hinder their ministry in Cyprus. His name was Elymas. And so Saul turned to him, who's called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke a curse on the sorcerer of Elymas, because he was trying to hinder the work of God in Cyprus. Many people, when they talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit, they only want to talk about the warm and fuzzy things. But remember always, it's not about feelings. Your walk with the Lord is not about emotions. It's not huggy-feely all the time. It is doing the will of God in every circumstance, in every situation. And sometimes we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do things that are difficult, things that are unpleasant, not only for us, but for those that we must minister to. But if it's the will of God, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that will fill you and enable you. If it was not for the power of the Holy Spirit, there are so many things about being a pastor that I just would soon not want to do. But I have an obligation to the one who loved me enough to send his son to die for me, to do the will of God in every circumstance, in every situation. And saints, I can't do that. You can't do that apart from the Holy Spirit. How often have Christians tried to substitute our planning, our ideas, our opinions, in order to try to promote, and I'm even talking about just in the context of trying to promote the gospel, not even getting into individual lives and what you do. We'll get into that a little bit later. But just in the context of trying to promote the gospel, how many times have God's people and churches and denominations and individuals substituted their own plans and thoughts and wishes to try to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ? Saints, if we do that, we are miserably failing to do the will of God. You can only plant the seed of the gospel. There will only be a fruit in your life and the life of others if you learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, that you might be filled with the Spirit in this aspect, to know His power, to give you the words and the boldness to say what needs to be said when it needs to be said. We are called to proclaim the word of reconciliation, but we will miserably fail apart from the Holy Spirit. There is no substitute. There's a quote that I have printed from time to time by a man by the name of Downer, and he writes this: "The results of deficient attention to the study and the preaching of the third person have appeared in dryness of spiritual experience, a low level of Christian life, formalism in worship, want of discipline in the church, want of zeal in missionary enterprise." Now, hopefully you'll take time to consider that, because there are a number of points there. All of these areas, we can only be successful by the leading of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But all of them are important. Dryness of spiritual experience. Are you going through a dry time in your spiritual life? You need to ask yourself, am I filled with the Spirit in this aspect? Or am I substituting my own wants and desires and things and substituting that for the will of the Spirit? Low level of Christian life. Why are there so many Christians that are characterized by sin, are bound by the chains and habits of sin that not only hold them back but bring reproach to the grace that saved them? Why is there such a low level of Christian life among Christians? Because they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Formalism in worship. Why are so many churches dry and just going through the motions? Because they've refused to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in their midst. Discipline in the church. That's one of those unpleasant things. Paul was filled with the Spirit when he brought discipline. Discipline in the church is something that people don't want to talk about today. No. Let's just all get along. We need the leading of the Spirit, that the body of Christ would be healthy and strong to do what? To do the will of God. Want of zeal and missionary enterprise. A burden for the lost. It comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. So as we read some of these, and we're not done yet, but as we've read some of these accounts in the book of Acts, it's an account of these men's lives, and these individuals, these women as well. If someone was going to follow you around and give a historical account of your life, would they use phrases like we read here? In some ordinary and some extraordinary circumstances and situations where, well, Doug said this or Doug did that, would they preface it with, and Doug, being filled with the Holy Spirit, did this? I want that to be able to be said about me, not by men so much as by my loving Father. That is my desire. And some people, some people are afraid anymore of words like being spiritual and being filled with the Spirit. Saints, that's what I want in my life. That's my goal in life. I want all that God has for me, and I want to be all that He wants me to be, but I can only do that if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit in every aspect. Many fundamentalists reject any real and personal enabling and leading of the Holy Spirit as something that is just fanatical, and the result is formalism. It's up to them how they direct their life and how they promote the gospel. But saints, that's not the will of God. Then there are, on the opposite extreme of that, are so many Pentecostals and charismatics who try to fabricate and reproduce the power of the Holy Spirit, all by their own carnal efforts. And the result of that kind of Christian experience is actually a powerless carnival of shameful demonstration of the flesh. Saints, I don't want to be found on either extreme. I want to be right in the middle and be filled with the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. So as we continue the study this morning, as we read from God's Word, let the Holy Spirit examine you. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And remember, that's not just a question, have you had that initial experience? If you haven't had that initial first step, then that's the place to start. That is the first step. But many of you that have had that experience already, and that is a past usage of that, I was filled with the Spirit. That's a true statement, and that's scriptural to use it in that way. But now, what about today? The Holy Spirit's still there. He never leaves you. But are you filled currently, fresh? This is what we see in Acts 4:24. So then they heard that they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. See, the blame, the guilt goes to everyone there. We're gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Again, this is after the day of Pentecost, and probably most, if not all of them there, were probably there on the day of Pentecost, certainly the apostles. So they had already had that initial receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. But here we see that they are receiving a fresh enabling and a fresh blessing for a specific time in their life. They were being threatened. They said, you continue to preach in Jesus' name, we're going to beat you and kill you. And they had already beaten Peter and John. And this is why they come from that beating, they come from that threatening, and they come together with God's people and they say, we need to pray. Because if we're going to be able to do what Jesus told us to do, we're going to need something. Because, we don't know how many of these beatings we can take. We don't know if they're going to kill us before we preach our next sermon. We need a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. And so they cried out, and God responded with this blessing. A specific blessing for a specific time in their life. It was different, and yet it was the same power and the same Holy Spirit. Jump over to Acts 13. Are you going through a difficult time in your life and you find it hard at times simply to do what you know God wants you to do? You need to do what the early church did. Cry out to God. God, we need your strength. We need your power. And he will answer with a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. Acts 13, verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread. This is Acts 13 and verse 49. Acts 13, 49 says, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In this passage, it's possible that the term being filled with the Holy Spirit is referencing to what we'll consider in depth next week, Lord willing, and that is that they were simply walking in the Spirit, and that certainly is true. But again, I believe that it's talking more about a specific blessing at a very difficult time in their life. Their life was being completely turned upside down because they were Christians. Because they were faithfully telling others about reconciliation with God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. Their life economically and in every sense of the word, that they were being uprooted from their lives because they were Christian. And it was a difficult time. But because they looked to God, God filled them in the midst of all of that loss and pain and confusion and persecution and suffering. He filled them with the joy of the Holy Spirit. He filled them with the power and the presence of the third member of the triune God. It was real. It was fresh. It changed their life. To me, this emphasizes how constant is our need for a freshness in our walk with the Lord. And all of us have gone through times when we have lost that freshness, that intensity, that zeal, that clarity of what we're doing and why we are doing it. We've all been tempted. We've all succumbed to that temptation at different times and at different levels and different degrees. But do you know the remedy to get out of that stale spiritual walk? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fresh and new. He hasn't left you. It's not new in that you want something different than you've had before, but it's a freshness of the power, real and vibrant. Peter had already received the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness on the day of Pentecost. Was he out of line for asking for boldness? Peter had already been filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people say, "Oh no! Once you've been filled, then you know you don't have to worry about anything else. You'll have all the power you need." Well, the potential is there, but Peter had that experience, didn't he? Was he out of line for asking? Asking God for boldness in that moment that was difficult for him? Apparently, he was not out of line because God answered him big time, didn't he? He gave him a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. The threat was new, and so the anointing needed to be new. 2 Timothy 1. Saints, we've been called to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your job as a Christian. Whatever your secular job is, whatever your daily responsibilities are, all of those are to fall into submission to your one calling as a child of God. And that is to witness of the reality of Jesus Christ. His reality to save you because of his sacrifice. His reality to transform your life into a life of godliness free from the dominion and power of sin in your day-to-day choices. You're to be an example of that. You are to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ to invite those that are not yet saved to know the grace of God that will forgive all of their sins. And for other Christians, it's your responsibility to invite them into a deeper banquet than just merely being saved, but to know more and more and more of His loving grace. But you can't do that if you're going on some past experience, and today your walk with the Lord is not new and fresh. The power of the Holy Spirit is only a memory to you. It needs to be real today, not just in emotional demonstration, but in your witness to others. In your life that's being transformed. Beyond, we're not talking about willpower. We're not talking about improving yourself. We're talking about yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit that will transform you from glory to glory to glory to the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That can only happen if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you, Paul talking to his spiritual son Timothy, Timothy called to take the place of the Apostle Paul in the early church as a spiritual leader. Timothy had been saved, filled, had that initial experience. But notice what Paul says to Timothy. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Timothy had a specific calling as a minister, as a leader. But all of God's children have a calling and a place in the body of Christ. We've all been given a gift to be a part of the member of the body of Christ. And there are times that we allow it to become stale and unused because in Timothy's case, he was being intimidated. He was being tempted to fear. Well, I'm supposed to fill Paul's sandals and... From where I stand, whoever stands in Paul's sandals, we're talking about being stoned, persecuted, resisted, abandoned, and ultimately martyred. And Timothy, rightfully so, don't be hard on Timothy. Timothy began to question, is that really what I want? But that, of course, is because his perspective, perspective on things was out of balance. You have to keep looking at Jesus. You have to keep looking at His will and His purpose for you. And as you do, you won't become discouraged. Because as that vision grows brighter and more real, you're going to be more zealous for the Lord, no matter even if things get rougher. Jump down to 2 Timothy 1 and verses 13 and 14 to make the connection here. Stir up the gift. That's what I was trying to get at here. The stirring up. But how do you stir it up? 2 Timothy 1:13 and 14. You hold fast the pattern of sound words. There we go. Brother Doug, I knew you was going to get back around to saying sound doctrine. You're just a broken record. We're talking about doing the will of God. I can't do the will of God if I don't know the will of God. And I can't do the will of God, even if I know it, if I don't surrender to the very real and present and fresh daily ministry of the Holy Spirit to reveal to me the will of God and to enable me to do it. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, you keep. How in the world can we keep that? How can we do the will of God? By the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Stir up the gift within you. Wherever God has placed you in the will of God, in the body of Christ, you can be successful. You can know joy unspeakable and peace that passes understanding. But if your walk with the Lord is not fresh, by a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God, then you're going to fail, and I'm going to fail. Isaiah 40. We're going to take the Lord's Supper here in a moment. But as we take these symbols that serve to remind us of the very real sacrifice of Jesus, to understand what he purchased for us. Jesus died to forgive me, to pay the penalty of my sin, to give me forgiveness, that I might have eternal life. And if we had nothing else but that, saints, we are the most blessed people on this planet. And our hope goes beyond this planet. But that glorious salvation and redemption that is ours because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, do you realize that's just the beginning? He wants you to enjoy right now as we anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and as we anticipate the glorious rewards of heaven and eternity. He wants you to enjoy right now the power of God in your day-to-day life, your day-to-day choices. He does not want his children to go around in misery and despair and in carnality and being enslaved to sin. But if you're going to know the victory that Jesus Christ died to give you, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in every sense of the phrase. All aspects. And the thing is, it's available for every one of you, for all of us. But if you're going through a dry period, you need to do what Peter and John did in Acts 4 and that we read about here in Isaiah 40. Verses 29 to 31. Are you tired? Are you weak? That's kind of a good thing. If you've been trying to do the will of God in your own strength. Verse 29 says, He, God, gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Saints, we've been called to run a race, to win Christ, to sit with Him as a joint equal heir. There are times that race, you just plain get weary. Especially when we little by little, and that's usually how it takes place, is just one circumstance after another, one neglect after another, things begin to build up, and before we realize it, we're just too tired to go on and do what we know is the will of God. We're discouraged. It's times like that we need to do what the early church did. Come in the presence of God and say, God, we can't do this. And your father's going to say, that's not news to me, but I'm glad you're finally realizing it. God is my sufficiency. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that power comes from the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I need a fresh anointing. This assembly needs a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't come by us trying to generate it. It comes from us yielding and waiting and allowing Him to fill us. If the brethren will come at this time, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Let this be an opportunity for you to allow the Spirit of God to minister to you and bring victory in your life.